Hey guys, welcome to church with me on Wednesday night, 7 p.m. It's time to hang out again. A little Bible study tonight. Now we're going to be talking about how did we get here and some times in our life when we're sitting and we kind of look up and try to figure out how in the world did we get to this point. So as we start in prayer tonight, be thinking about that phrase, thinking about some times in your life that may have happened to you. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for how awesome you are. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your leading and your guiding, God, and helping us to walk towards you and to walk in the direction that you would have us to walk. And those gentle nudges every now and then that kind of push us back on track when we start to wander a bit. I just thank you for that. I thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight and to be able to speak your word. And pray that you would just remove me from this equation and allow your word to come forth in a way that helps us to move forward and helps us to be different than we were maybe before we heard this. And God, I pray that you would just help me to be able to speak it directly as you would have me to, straight from you. I pray, God, that you would be with our church family tonight. I pray that you would be with those who need comfort. I pray that you would be with those, God, who need a healing. God, those who just need companion. God, you are all those things in our lives, and I thank you for that. And I pray that you would just meet those needs tonight, God, as the body, as we come before you. And I pray that you just help us tonight to learn more about you and to kind of figure out how we can keep from just going completely off books and figuring out how to be closer to you. And to your name we pray. Amen. So tonight, title, how did we get here? I know there have been multiple times in my life where I've been driving down the road and got kind of a long trip ahead of me or something, and I get lost in thought or lost in music or lost in a conversation or something, and shortly after that, I'll look up and realize that I'm way down the road and I can't recall how I got to that point. And I don't know about you, but that always really makes me nervous. If I can't remember that, I'm trying to figure out how many wrecks I've caused, how many pets I've hit, all those things, like, I don't remember anything about it, and it kind of messes with me. And it's hard because it begins to make us worry. And I feel like in my life, right now, I can kind of do the same thing and look up from taking a little bit of time, maybe not directly focused on what's going on in the last few years, and look up and say, whoa, how'd we get here? What happened here? What's going on and how did we get to this point? And tonight I want to talk about three ways that really just I feel like are a cascade to us coming to that point and total abandonment of our responsibilities as a church. And to keep from that, there are three things we can do to kind of fight that. Tonight our scripture is in Haggai chapter 1. And we're going to jump into that first thing tonight and flip over here with my with my Bible here. We're going to start in verse 3 and just kind of read basically the first part of the word that came to Haggai here in chapter 1. Verse 3 says, "The word of the Lord came through Haggai the prophet. Is it a time for yourselves to live in paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Now the Lord of hosts says this, think carefully about your ways. You've planted much but harvested little. You eat but never have enough to be satisfied. You drink, but never have enough to become drunk. You put on clothes, but never have enough to get warm. The wage earner puts his wages into a bag with a hole in it. The Lord of hosts says this, think carefully about your ways. Go up into the hills, bring down lumber, and build the house. Then I will be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. You expected much, but then it amounted to little when you brought the harvest into your house. Brought your harvest to your house. I ruined it. Why? This is the declaration of the Lord of hosts, because my house still lies in ruins while each of you is busy with his own house." So it's kind of a warning here to the Israelites that's saying basically the crux of it is you've abandoned the house of God but went on and pursued your own agendas and pursued your own priorities while we've kind of left the house of God unlocked with the doors open and whoever and whatever could just mess it up and it lies in ruins. And I think that's probably a physical thing for them then too. We see that in this time in the Israelites' history, they're struggling with the same thing that we always see through the course here is they come closer and then they fall away, and then they come close and then they fall away. And this was a time where they weren't really focused on what they needed to be focused on, and God was warning them, hey, you've got your eyes set on these things that you want to do. You've got your eyes set on making all this money and doing all these things, but you've left the house of God in ruins. And I'm not happy with you about it because you've neglected that responsibility. And tonight, that's kind of what I want to talk about. I kind of want to jump into this and talk about a cascade of events that happens that basically takes our eyes off of what we're supposed to be doing as Christians and gets us to that point where we're only focused on maybe ourselves and what we have to pursue individually rather than what we're supposed to be pursuing for God. And tonight I want this to be an individual introspective look at how we can do this, and then after that to be able to impact those around us after we've adjusted our priorities or figured out where we are in this point, so that we can be those catalysts and those things that help our environment and our society around us change. And I think we can kind of, like I said a minute ago, I think we can all kind of look up from our four walls and our little boxes that we're in right now, and if we were to look around, we could all probably say, whoa, how'd we get here? And I think when we jump into this, I think the first thing to think about here is that when we begin to pursue our own wants over the things that we need. And what I mean by that is, you know, we have some basic things that we need as humans and as mammals, and that's food, water, and shelter. But beyond that, we have some basic needs that come from God as well. And those needs are a need to feel loved and a need to feel comfortable and safe and those things as well. But when we begin to pursue our own wants, we start to get more focused on how many things we can get, or what kind of job we can have, or what kind of career we can do, or how much money is in our pocket, or, you know, whatever that may be. And we start to pursue those things, and that's kind of the first part of this cascade. We get kind of stuck in that mindset, and our priorities get focused on, oh, I can have this, and I can have that, and I want this, and I want that, and I want this for my family, and I want that for my family. And all of those things are well and good, but sometimes we don't think about what our family really needs. And I know sometimes in my life, I've been guilty of trying to give my wife and kids things rather than myself. And I can say, man, I got my wife a new vehicle, or I got this new job so that I can make more money, or I got these things so that my kids will be happy. And that's true. They will be. But they would rather have me. They would rather have the presence of their dad. They would rather have that quality time. And they would rather have a dad who prays for them than a dad who just buys them gifts most days. My wife would say that. My kids, I don't know if they would say that yet. But we get focused on our own agendas. We get focused on those things that we want to pursue and those things that we want, and the fleshly desires of what we have. And that first event in that cascade moves into where, when we fill our accounts and we're only focused on our accounts, we begin to notice we have empty hearts. And what happens is we can have all of these things, but if we don't pursue them in the right way and we don't also pursue the things of God, we'll notice that our pockets might be full, our bank account might be stacked, but our heart is super empty. And there's just nothing there. You can have all the things in the world, but if we don't have that love of God and we don't have those gifts from God, we don't have anything. And I'm reminded of this. There have been several times when I worked in California, I would go backpacking by myself. And I'd just take out, I'd have my backpack, my tent, sometimes maybe even just a hammock. I wouldn't even sleep in a tent, but I'd be gone 3 or 4 days. And I saw some incredible things, some beautiful sunsets, some beautiful vistas, man, just an awesome experience. But I didn't have anybody to share it with. And I think about those things, those times in my life where my wife and my kids, or my wife and Kenna, we've done the same things, but we experience them together. And we experience them with that camaraderie and that love that we have with each other, and it makes it so much more important, and it makes it so much more real, and we can reminisce on it and think about it together and say, hey, remember that time we saw sunrise in Acadia National Park, or remember that time we saw sunset in Hawaii, and we can think about how important those things were to us. And the first thing that we see is we start to pursue those wants, and then the next thing we notice is that when those wants are there, we feel like we've got everything we can possibly get. Sometimes our hearts are empty. And when, as Christians, when we begin to pursue the things of the world rather than the things of God, we can notice the same thing. And I'm challenged tonight to think about, as Christians, how many times in our life we pursued those things and those objects, and only to realize that when our boat trailer's got a flat tire, our truck's out of gas, and we don't have enough money to go on a trip, then what do we really have in the long run? What have we really focused on? And then the last thing, when we see that our hearts are empty, we try to just tack on more and tack on more. And the idea with that is when we pursue that kind of lifestyle, we typically are doing it so people will see us. We're typically trying to up our views, whether it be on our Instagram page, we get 75 likes on what we had for breakfast, or 65 likes on our new vehicle or our new thing. We're trying to up our views. And God is calling us as Christians to stop that part and to start trying to fill the pews in our church. And what happens is we get into that cascade and we say, okay, I want this and I want that. And then we realize that we haven't pursued the right thing. And then in the end, we see that all we're doing is this to just have people look at us. But not for good things and not for good reasons. It's just to have people look at us to say, oh, they've got all this stuff. Or, oh, they're my fun friends because they have all the toys or whatever. But what are we really going to give people if all we have to do is hand out $100 bills? What happens when the $100 bills are gone? What are you going to give someone? And in Haggai chapter 1, that's what God was trying to tell the people, is to say, man, you guys have went and you've pursued, you've sown all kinds of seed, but you didn't reap anything. You went and you tried to build all your pretty houses, these paneled houses, and they're nice and all this, but they weren't anything. You drank and drank and drank, but you never got drunk enough to feel better. Or whatever it was. He goes down that list of things there, but in the end he says, my issue is that you've forsaken the house of God. You've ditched the idea that we're here ultimately on earth as a purpose is to praise God and to reach people for Him. That's it. That's why He created us, was to lift His name, and so that we can impact those around us. As our lives are changed, we can do those things to each other. And I think as a church, especially lately, it's really easy to get focused on the things that we can't do. So-and-so says, we can't do this way. Or so-and-so says, this group says that we're not allowed to have this or have that. Well, that's okay. But there's things that we can do, and there are things that we can do to reach people around us in a positive way. I feel like this is a time in the church's life, the long life of the Church of God, that we can look at it and we can say, man, what an opportunity. God literally shut the doors for a while to get us to focus on what the real issue was. It's not about trying to have the prettiest of this and the best of that and the most of these things. If those things are not the things that last forever, they're useless. If they're not love, if they're not peace, if they're not hope, if they're not patience and kindness and all those fruits of the Spirit, what do we have? What do we have when our bank account's empty if we don't have those things? And I think this for me as a Christian was a little bit of a wake-up call to get my focus back onto what am I supposed to be doing? Where am I at? And I look at some of the points that God made there where He said, you know, you've sown your seeds into these fields, but your harvest, you didn't reap anything. And when I think about that, I think about maybe we sowed the wrong seed. Maybe we sowed weed seeds instead of seeds that were of some kind of fruit. And what happens is at the end of the day, all we've got to reap are the bad things. All we've got to reap are the coals and the useless parts of that field. And I think about that in practical analogy and practical metaphor here. This is a season where we really need to focus on sowing good seeds. This is a season where we really need to focus on what are we doing to cultivate the earth around us. Are we just throwing seed out and just saying whatever grows, grows, it's no big deal, we're not working it, we're not tending it? I think maybe we are sometimes. I think as a church it's been real easy for us to show up on Sundays and get a word and to get a Band-Aid and to get a drink for the week, and then we come back the next Sunday and we get another drink again. But I think as Christians, it's time for us to begin to do that work Monday through Saturday as well. And we see the importance of that when we can't meet in the house like we normally used to. And we see the importance of that when we can't do the things the way we used to do them. For whatever reason, it doesn't matter what the reason is, we just can't right now. But that doesn't mean we can't be effective Christians. It doesn't mean we can't be effective in the kingdom of God. And I think it's our time to begin to sow the correct seed, to begin to rebuild and to rework and to put effort into rebuilding the church of God, and to put effort into renovating the purpose of what the church was. And I think it's just such a time right now to focus on that. And it was hard on me this week when I was thinking about it. I was like, God, man, we're doing all kinds of stuff. Man, look at what all we're doing. We're doing the Facebook stuff. We're doing live stream like we've never done it before. We're reaching people, whatever. And he's like, yeah, that's cool. Sunday morning, what are you doing on Monday? What are you doing on Tuesday? What are you doing on Wednesday? How many times did you talk to somebody about me today? And I'm like, okay, fine. And then it just keeps going. You know, I mean, I feel like a lot of times God just like, once he starts, he's like, reiterates that, really drives it home to me. And I look around and I wonder how many of us are that way. How many of us, I mean, who did you talk to about Jesus this week? Anybody? No, maybe. If you did, that's awesome. If somebody got saved because of a word that you spoke to them and encouraged them with and showed them that there's a better way this week, man, that is incredible. But I think we neglect that responsibility. We see the Great Commission as something that God told the disciples, but we just let it be. To go into all the world and preach the gospel and to try to affect the entire world and change, to turn our eyes to Jesus. And you know, we talked about that when I preached on Sunday morning. We talked about one of the best ways to do that is in a spirit of love. It's not in a spirit of condemnation. It's not in a spirit of hatred or anger or the violent or anything like that. It's about a spirit of love. And we begin to approach people from underneath and we begin to talk to them and say, hey man, I used to be just like you. Or hey, lady. I don't know how women address each other. I would say, hey man, hey dude, something like that. I'm not really sure how women do that, but whatever that is. And you just say, hey, I know what it's like to be where you are right now. I've been in the same boat. I know what it's like to feel like there's not any hope, to feel like that, rather than to come at people and say, you're doing this, 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 and this wrong, and you're going to go to hell for it. That doesn't work. That's not the kind of approach Jesus would have. He came to people with love, and he came to people with a message that said, you need to change. But when you do change, it's going to be so much better for you. Let me show you that avenue. Let me show you through someone that I can change what that looks like for you. Tonight, I just really challenge us as Christians to take a look at where we are. We've been focused on our own agenda, trying to pursue those things. Have we realized that, man, you've got all these things or you've had all these things and now they're gone or they've wasted away or waned away and you're standing there and thinking, man, I'm empty now. I used to feel like I was full, but I'm empty now. I don't know how to feel myself. Or are you just stuck on the way people see you and you just want to up your views? You just want people to look at you and give you a thumbs up or a like or a comment or a share on your social media stuff? Are you stuck there? man, God wants us to look to the church, to look at what we're supposed to do as Christians, and to say, man, I was wrong. For too many years, I've watched as the church has fallen into a hole, and we see it circling the drain sometimes, and just saying, wow, look at the moral decline in our nation. Wow, look at all these things that are going on that would have never happened 20 years ago. Oh my goodness, the country is in such disarray. But we don't do anything. We just watch it happen. The Church of God has sat here and we've done what we do every Sunday and Sunday night and Wednesday, but we don't do anything on the other days of the week. I mean, we're not even hitting above middle ground on that with how many days of the week there are. We're less than 50% on the days that we try to do it. But God is looking at us and he's saying, hey, man, it's time to get up. It's time to change the world. It's time for the church to stand up and be the voice and to be a light and to be a beacon that says, come here. Come find rest here. Come find peace here. And that here being Jesus, not a physical place, not a sanctuary with four walls, pretty stained glass windows, and some beautiful lighting. It's not about that. It's about finding Jesus in that spot. And God is just telling us, man, go do that. Go be that. You don't have to be inside the doors to do that. You don't have to be in a church service to impact the world. And I'm so challenged on that tonight, and I'm so angry with myself about the times in my life that I've just sat and watched as the world just sort of goes by me and I just say, yep, I'm good, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, and that's it. I've been lazy about it. I've just sat in here and been kind of a glutton for church and just sat in here and gotten fat and not done anything with it, not taking what I've received from here and giving it out. And I feel like we're seeing the society around us fall into a deeper and darker spot because we've neglected that responsibility as a church. I don't want to be negative. I don't want to be gloom and doom. I really want it to be inspiring to say we can and we will impact and change the world if we buy into that and if we say, you know what? Yeah. Man, God did that for me. Why can't he do that for my neighbor? Why can't he do that for that angry coworker I have that all they do is cuss and fight and are mad at me? Why can't he? That's my question to you. Why can't he? Why can't he save? Why can't he heal? Why can't he this or that or whatever that monster need is for you? The answer is there's no reason, because he can do anything. I really want this to be a time that's inspiring to you to say, yeah, for too long I've sat idle. For too long I let my foot off the gas and coasted. For too long I've gotten lost in my own thoughts and not really paid attention to the road in front of me. I don't even know how I got where I'm at right now. I don't know how many people's pets I hit along the way here. Let's talk about like when we're driving. You think about that gap there where you can't remember that. It's time to focus on what's in front of us. It's crunch time. It's time to speak to those people around you that don't know God. And to encourage them and to challenge them to find what you have and to find what you know is truth and what you know is real. Tonight, I'm thankful for this opportunity to speak to you guys, and I hope it's encouraging but also challenging, because it has been for me. This week, it's been difficult for me to accept that and swallow, like, yep, you were pretty terrible at it for a while. But we can change that. And we can impact this community in such an awesome way. I believe the church can be such a light to this community that we're going to have to find places to sit people even when we can go at 100% capacity. We're going to have overflow whenever we can sit right next to each other like we used to. I think that we can do that, and I believe that's what God wants. But there's a responsibility of the church members here to expand the kingdom of God in that. And if we don't, it's not going to happen. But if we do, it can be incredible, the change that God can make around us. Tonight, as I get ready to close, I want you to pray with me, and I want you to think about that, and I want you to think about, how did I get here? But not so much how did I get here, but what am I going to do now? I'm at this place. Maybe I don't even know where I'm at right now. But what am I going to do next? Think about that as we pray. God, I thank you for this day. Again, I thank you for those challenges that you put in front of us. I thank you for the word that you spoke in the Old Testament to a guy named Haggai. And a guy that you talked to that explained exactly the situation that we're in today. That your word is so alive that the words that you gave him are applicable to us today. And I thank you that you can help us to begin to find that right path again and begin to find that right purpose again as Christians when we just look to you. And when our eyes are opened again and it's like a wake-up alarm or a dinner bell or something that perks our attention up and says, oh, wow, how did we get here? Man, this is a mess. What happened here? And when we look at that, you're big enough to be able to change those situations. And you're big enough to do things through us that can change those environments and that can impact the world in such an awesome way because you are so big. And the things that you do are so immense and so indescribable that there's no way we can begin to pin what you are and who you are and how incredible you are. I thank you for times that you challenge us to do more. I thank you for times that you encourage us to be better today, tomorrow than we were today. I thank you for times that you chastise us for what we haven't been doing, but encourage us to do better. I pray, God, that this would resonate within our hearts this week. I pray, God, that on Thursday and Friday and Sunday and Monday and whatever, God, we think about it. What are you doing and how did we get here? What am I doing for God today? I pray, God, that it would just be resounding until we just cannot walk away from it any longer, and we begin to pursue that. We begin to just attack that with a vengeance to say, I'm going to change the world because God changed me, and I know that I can help someone else's life be changed, and then they can change someone else. And then that exponential formula, God, that begins to show just multiple times of people change. I just thank you for who you are, and I thank you for how awesome that you are. Thank you that you've helped change my life and you've changed so many lives around me, and that gives me hope that you can change others as well. Because you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you did it then, you can do it today. Be with our church family, God. Help us to be more like you. Help us to be more active in what we do for you. Help us to just be the church. To focus on building the church, not the walls, not the carpet, not the speakers or the lights or the windows, God, but the hearts and the bodies and the minds and the souls, God, that need to be changed for you. Love you and thank you for this incredible opportunity to be a part of your work and this incredible opportunity to seize this event and to seize this time as one that we can see multiple and just immense change. Thank you for that and allowing us to be a part of it. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. So, tonight, how did we get here? What are we going to do? Man, go do something awesome this week for God. Go try to change somebody's life with what God has done for you and tell them about it too. Next week, we'll be back again. Maybe we can have some story time in the comments or something. We can talk about what God did for you this week. I hope you have a great weekend. Hope to see you Sunday morning if you can make it. If not, we'll catch you on the live stream there as well. But I'll see you again next week. God bless you and have a great week.